Well, we'd like to welcome all of our visitors. Today we have a special treat for you. Our good friend and just an amazing person, Jess Cates, is with us. So welcome, Jess Cates.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Those of you who don't know who he is a massive songwriter and has done all kinds of work that you have probably heard of. But if you're not from Nashville, you may not know who he is, because here in Nashville, the only famous people are the ones who write and the producers. And those are the people's names that are on the back of the CDs, if you can remember what CDs used to be.
What is that? What is a CD?
They're these little discs that you used to put into your car and into your computer that had a tray that came out. I was having to explain all this to my kids the other day, and they were like, "You can input information onto a piece of plastic and then read it? That's so crazy." And I was, well, yeah, welcome to the modern age. So some of the stuff that he's done, he's written a lot of pop songs, a lot of Backstreet Boys songs. He wrote for Nick Lachey. Is that correct how you pronounce that? Nick Lachey of the 98 Degrees. He also wrote one of my favorite songs, which was Crush by David Archuleta. And I, on a regular basis, just belt that out to my wife in public places. But one of my favorite things that Jess does is that he writes songs for the church. And that's why he's on the podcast here today, because he's written with Elevation. He's written with Bethel. Jeremy Riddle recorded one of his songs. Chris Tomlin recorded one of his songs. His Even So Come. And when I say that he wrote those songs in Nashville, we understand that that means that he co-wrote those songs. And that's what we're actually going to talk about today, is how much songwriting is a team sport. And so Jess is doing that day in and day out, and has since he was a young boy. When did you get started in your songwriting?
So I started writing songs in high school, and when, you know, growing up in Nashville, I knew that songwriting was a career path. And my dad was a songwriter. My mom and dad traveled around in churches, and, you know, my dad wrote songs for my mom to sing. And so I understood that, you know, this could be, you know, a place, a path I could go in. So when I was 19, I met a guy and showed him some of my songs, and he took me to a publisher and got my first publishing deal at 19.
That's awesome. When I moved here, maybe the most shocking part about Nashville was how different the songwriting culture was. Certainly the people that were famous here in town that I had never heard of, and then just understanding that songs were co-written, and I had never co-written before in my entire life. And so I started to look back at all these songs that were my favorite songs and realized that there were almost always more than one person's name on that. And so for those of you that are songwriting, or pastors that are looking to create those songs from your church, you know, how do you become a Hillsong? How do you become an Elevation where your people are writing these songs? One of the biggest things that we can tell you is that it's not done by individuals. It's done by groups. And so Jess gets the opportunity to go in and help some of those places. They just fly them out and have a writing camp, so to speak, where they'll just get together in rooms and write whatever comes together and help form those things. But really, for all of you that are getting started, one of the hardest things is to co-write, because there's so much involved. So Jess, how do you approach your going into a session? You don't know these people, or maybe you do know them. How do you find your way in dealing with all the emotional stuff that comes along with the creative process?
When I've gotten into the room with some people that have never co-written, it's definitely a new experience, because a lot of people are really precious with their ideas, and they, you know, need to hold on to them.
That was me for sure. Yeah.
Rightfully so, because these are your ideas. But in any kind of collaboration, and not just in music, but in business, you have to be willing to let someone else really shine in what they're doing. So that means kind of like just laying your expectations down. You might have something great, a great idea to offer. I've come into some writing sessions and I felt like I had the idea. Well, about 30 minutes later, we're on to another idea. You know, it's just how it happens. But to be okay with that process, no matter what, really kind of just letting go of the expectations of that your idea, or, you know, holding on to what you think it should look like. And I found that just really honoring the other writers and letting them shine in what they do and bringing out the best, you know?
So as we start talking about songwriting, I know a lot of pastors, worship leaders, and just worshipers want to write songs. And really the question is, how do you go about that? And then really the expectation of if you want to do that professionally, and then certainly just understanding that the best songs are coming from these co-writes, and really most of the world is not co-writing. That's a scary and really dangerous, seems dangerous at least when you walk, you're just like, man, how am I going to take these precious ideas and then trust these other people? But you know, you're doing that every day. You know, so what kind of advice would you give people who are looking to get better at their songwriting?
I think the first thing to identify is there a songwriting culture at your church? And for the most part, I think a lot of churches don't have a songwriting culture. But I had a songwriting Skype consulting session the other day, and this worship writer up in Minneapolis, she was kind of in that position where she wanted to write songs and knew that she could write songs for church, but she wasn't even on the worship team.
Yeah.
But she had great ideas. And she talked to her worship leader, and the worship leader said, hey, there's this other girl and she writes kind of more country songs. But hey, I said, that's a place to start.
Yeah.
That's another songwriter at your church. Because I asked, you know, because most of the time churches are doing outside songs.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But I think a lot of times churches miss out just kind of on the, that's what songwriters are able to do in a church, of just kind of, you know, gauge the heartbeat of what God's doing in that congregation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I led worship in LA for 7 years, and LA is a much different city than Nashville. And you know, downtown Santa Monica is different than downtown Franklin, Tennessee. And so the same way Jesus, in Revelation, there were all these letters to the different churches, that there were all these different cities, and each city is different.
Yeah.
And not that we can't sing a Hillsong, because thank you, Lord, for all these songs that go around the world that we can grab. But, you know, I really hope that a lot of churches, and the more churches would have songwriting cultures where you can really just start writing into what God's doing at your church.
Yeah, really, it's customized songs, and it's your message coming from the people to the people. That's powerful.
And that's what Hillsong's doing.
Yeah.
That's their heartbeat. You know, that's what God's doing there and in these other places. And not a lot of people I know are just in those movements are just writing for the world.
Yeah.
They're writing for their church.
And then what sticks there goes.
Exactly.
See if it works at your church too. You know, one thing that a lot of people get stuck on in looking for people to co-write is they're looking for somebody that can put an entire song together. And in coming to Nashville, that was kind of who I was looking for and was trying to be, and then realizing that there's these aspects of songwriting that you can break it down into different tasks. And really, you know, here in town, they talk about the main three, which would be, are you a lyric person? Are you a melody person? Or are you a production person? And a lot of those co-writes will have three people in that room, but they're not all doing the same thing. And so who are you in the room, and how does that work, and how do you find those people?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, kind of the way that I saw the world through melody. That's kind of what came to me first. My dad was a great melody writer, but I knew that I needed to write lyrics too. And so early on, I knew I wanted to be a great lyric writer too, but melody comes naturally for me.
And these are, just so for our listeners know, melody are the kind of people that like you whistle a lot, or you just like you're humming a tune, but you're not necessarily always putting lyrics to those things. You're not necessarily just writing poetry. So that's what we would say melody, like you come up with those ideas, and then a lyric person will come along and say, hey, those are the words to the notes you're singing.
Yes. So when I'm in a scenario where, or a writing session, every writing session is different. Sometimes there's two melody people or just a melody person and just a track person. I know at that point I've got to be the more on the lyric side of things.
Yeah.
And really drive the lyric.
So what you're saying is you really have to kind of feel out who you're with and then fill in those gaps.
Yeah.
So then the other person in the room a lot of times is the production person, and they don't sometimes even contribute at all to the melody or even the lyrics. They're just the one, you know, either playing guitar, they're coming up with a chord progression, or a lot of times they'll just be working in a recording suite, making a track that kind of sounds like, and then that track inspires the lyrics and inspires the melody, and they're co-creating, but they're not necessarily all just sitting around writing the lyrics like you might think.
Yes. And a lot of times those, the track guys that I work with are track girls, actually, you know, they'll
the track people will know to them.
A lot of times those guys are big picture, like they know, hey, this, you know, the song should go from here to here, maybe trim that part down or whatever. Yeah. You know,
and I think what is interesting is here in town there are some massively successful writers who cannot sing.
Yes.
Like at all, and can't play the guitar, but yet they're contributing that aspect. And so in your churches right now, even possibly in your worship team or even not in your worship team, will be these people that if you think that they have to put it all together, you're going to miss out on working with them, but they may be an amazing lyricist and you just need to pull them in and be like, you're not responsible for any of the notes. Just tell me what I need to say.
Yeah.
Because I've heard some of these guys sing at some of these song share things that we have, and it's like shocking. I'm like, oh, this is going to be really good. That guy had a hit song with, and yes.
Yeah. I actually love those kind, because you're like, it really comes down to the song. It's not about the performer or the, you know.
One of your online blog deals. And if for those of you that are listening, you need to go check out jesskatesmusic.com, and that's JessKatesMusic.com, because he's posted all kinds of how-to helpful articles. You can subscribe to his newsletter list, which I do and would encourage you to as well. You'll get a download thing that of just some tips for you as a writer, and this will be things that for you as pastors can hand out to your people just to get them going. You mentioned in there that you have never sold any song that you wrote by yourself.
Yes.
That's just mind-blowing to me as somebody who writes a lot of their music by themselves.
I think it would be great if I wrote a song and someone picked it up and I, you know,
yeah,
didn't have to share it with anybody, you know, but that's just not the way. I don't think it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think especially in the kingdom of God, this is why God gives community. And I think it's the same way with songwriting and just working together in that way, because the same way that in a community, how your gifts, you know, help me and my gifts help you, it's the same way in songwriting.
Yeah. And you just don't get that when you're by yourself, because you're convincing yourself, well, I like this. And so then you move on. Whereas if somebody else is like, ah, that doesn't quite hit me right, you're missing that opportunity for community. And you talk in that article as well about how the bar gets raised when you get together. And that's part of what makes Nashville such a community, or the best songs come from here. How does that work in a session where you're like, they say something and you're like, yeah, that's not my favorite. How do you work that out in that space?
This is why relationship is so important. Like if I got in a room with someone, that could be awkward if I didn't like something, but you do it. It's the same way if, you know, you disagree with a brother or whatever. It's like, you're not going to go like, man, I don't agree. You know, it's like, you're just going to go like, what I've learned is you have to entertain all those ideas, because you may be wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My ideas aren't always the ideas, and looking for gold in what someone else says. And so a lot of times someone will say something, and because I've kind of have my mind made up on an idea that I think a way that it should go, I've learned to just like, okay, I've got to give that a chance. And then if I don't like it, it's like, I don't know if I'm feeling that, you know, let's keep trying. I think we can do better. I think we can, really find the best idea here, you know.
Maybe the last thing we'll talk about today is, 'cause I encourage you to go get this article that he has on his site. It said, you wrote in there, embrace the graveyard. And I think that for me, especially, that was very difficult, just getting over that I may write this song and it may go nowhere and no one will ever listen to it. But what I have missed in that whole process is the community of developing relationship with writers and saying, this may not be the song that is going to be amazing, but if we still work together and figure each other out, well, maybe the next one will be.
Yeah.
And just the understanding of how many songs are written every single day that don't ever see the light of day. That's all rhyming. But talk about how many songs do you write in a week, and then how many songs with a group of people will you write before one is amazing?
Yeah, I mean, we're writing lots of songs in a week. I mean, if I'm writing 5 days in the week, I'm writing 5 songs for the most part, or at least ideas. But I have learned that I want to write less ideas and just make them great. But I think, you know, what I wrote, what that means is when you're first writing songs, just to develop that muscle of songwriting and just getting better, not to be too precious with those ideas, because I remember my first 2 songs that I wrote.
Oh, the first ones.
And I mean, they were like the ones that I really thought something's going to happen with these songs. And hey, looking back, there were some neat parts to them, but nothing's happened with those songs. And in that article, it's not even about the songs that I wrote by myself. Even the graveyard had to do with songs I wrote with other people. It was just, we were like, hey, we didn't hit it that day.
Yeah.
Okay. And be okay with that. Move on to the next one. But sometimes, you know, it's okay to go back and go like, hey, that's a good idea. We need to chase that one down again. But early on, it's just more about the quantity, you know, instead of quality, and just really training that muscle to write songs. And so, yeah, when you write a lot of songs, I think a lot of times in Nashville, there's a lot of people writing a lot of songs every day. And there's only so many when you're doing it as a job and you're trying to hit targets to get on records. I think a lot of people are just writing songs and throwing them up against the wall and hoping
something sticks.
But for the church, you know, that's kind of what I want to encourage mostly, is for the songwriting culture to start, the collaboration, and then just to see what comes of it. And just consistency, just keep getting together. And it may be a hard experience at first, but don't give up. Just keep.
Yeah. And when you write that first song, don't be upset if they don't do it on Sunday, and just keep going. Even in the realm of like other things like photography, they say, if you take it out of 10 photos, if one of them is good, then you're probably a professional photographer. And so most people are unwilling to waste the 9 photos in order to get to the one. And I just find it interesting that the times that we have tried to create a songwriting culture in our church, that was our expectations. Like, well, I wrote it, you're going to do it. And then we're like, oh, well, it's not really working. And it fell flat on its face when we did try it. And then people are upset and offended. But just getting that expectation right of, we're going to get good at this before we try and actually do something on a Sunday. You know, going back to your working out illustration, it would be like doing one bicep curl and then being like, all right, well, I'm going to go throw a fastball now. And it's like, well, you should do that a few more times before you go out and try to apply something, you know?
Yeah. A guy named Andy Rozier, from Vertical Church, he's a worship leader at Vertical Worship, and they do a record and they have about 10 songs. But they write about 120 songs.
Oh man.
And so that's that principle. So, but what about number 79, you know? What happens with that one? Well, it's okay. It was part of the process.
Yeah.
And if it's not sung on Sunday morning, or if it doesn't become a song your church uses, that's okay. It was just part of getting to the next one and the next one. And I would adopt that principle. If you're going to start a songwriting culture, give yourselves time to write 10 or 20 songs and then go back and see.
That's good advice.
Is there one that would really work on Sunday morning?
That's awesome. So that's a lot to get you started, but for sure you need to connect with Jess Cates at jesscatesmusic.com. And he is offering a lot of free advice. And then there's also some paid services where he will help you write some of these songs and walk you through some of these processes, because just the belief is, and really time tested, proven is been, is you will write better songs if you do them as a group instead of on your own. All right. Well, thanks for everybody. Jess, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to all of the songs that y'all are going to write.